Hello and welcome back to 2.2 of this module. And we're going to be talking about agency considerations. Now, a lot of the considerations that we talked about for supervisors are going to be repeated to some extent in agency considerations, but I think they're worth looking at because there are specific areas that agencies may want to think about. So the aim is to identify what support agencies are offering students who are counselling online. Objectives to assess if agencies have specific policies for online working. Identify if agencies have specific GDPR policies for online working. And to identify if specific risk assessment are in place regarding face-to-face working. So we can see from that it's about policies, general data protection and risk. So when we talk about preparing students for counselling practice and managing risk, the agent's responsibilities rather revolve around, do students have contact details for their clients in case of an emergency? And I'll share a observation from a recent conversation I had with a colleague who was working for a charity that counsels older people. And she'd been working with older people for quite a long time. And I asked the question, do you have their details, their home details, their phone number, in case there's an emergency and you need to get an ambulance to them? What would happen if one of them had a heart attack or a stroke? And she said no. And I said, you may want to think about that, because if you think about it in the therapy room, if you're working with a client and they became ill, you would call the emergency services if it was serious. And in terms of working online, really, the client's home is a kind of sort of extension of the therapy room, in the fact that there is a duty of care that needs to be thought about. So my colleague went away, and she spoke to the agency, and the agency started supplying their practitioners with contact details. So emergency contact details. Now, this is covered in the course, the telephone online and telephone course that we have. However, it's something that is a real priority. Are agencies assessing clients for suitability for novice therapists? Now, I know part of good practice and due diligence when we appoint an agency to work with supervisees is just to have a general, you know, professional conversation around how the assessments are done, how they're allocated. And I think a conversation about, are there anything that's specific in mind when working with clients online? Bearing in mind things like disinhibition effect, if someone is frightened of the phone, doesn't like being seen on camera, I think these are things that may come up in the assessment and as such need to be transmitted to the therapist, especially a novice therapist. And also, how are practice managers keeping in contact with students? You know, when we think about a practice, we usually think of a building with rooms, and there's usually people mulling about. So if a student feels a little bit wobbly or a bit unsure, they can always contact someone. There's always someone there just to turn to one side and just explore what's going on. If this is at home, then students may feel a little bit isolated. So I would think it would be good practice for practice managers to have an on-call number in case students who are working, say, in the evenings, feel a little bit unsupported or feel as something that they're troubled by, they could speak to the practice manager. And I think also supervisors may very well adjust their out-of-hours or in-between supervisory sessions to maybe offer a phone call support if that's the case. I know I do, you know, so if I've got a student, and I would say, in an emergency, I can offer you maybe 20 minutes or half an hour. So that's my thoughts on that. In terms of specific policies, do agencies have specific policies for out-of-hours contact if a client contacts a student in distress? So a lot of students will be using their own equipment, their own phones. And in terms of phones, what happens if someone phones up who is in distress? What is the protocol for that? How would a student react to that? I think there needs to be a policy in place. I think the agencies need to think about that. Unless, of course, they supply their own phones. I mean, some agencies, I spoke with one recently, who was supplying very, very inexpensive mobile phones for phone counselling to students, in which case that could be turned off at the end of the day. The other thing is supplying details of referral pathways. I think that in an agency where there's people mulling about, if you need to make a referral, you can always make an inquiry. What about online? Is there a database, a portal that the agency keeps that can be accessed to make a referral? Are there preferred referral pathways? I know here where I live, the local Mind has specific partnerships with alcohol and drug team, community mental health team. So if they need even A&E, even the mental health practice nurse at A&E, they have very, very strong contacts. So should someone become ill and become very, very unwell, and there's a real concern, they can be, that there's a referral in place. So maybe worth inquiring about that. Also, general data protection regulations. Now, GDPR is something that came in 2016. It became law in 2018. And agencies should be able to inform students about their responsibilities under GDPR. In cases where students will be storing client data on their own devices, such as contracts, addresses, and phone numbers. So this becomes an interesting aspect of data protection. If they're storing them on their personal devices, technically speaking, the student becomes a data handler under GDPR and will need specific guidance from the agency's data controller as to how and what data is stored and what data to store and its disposal. So there needs to be policies around that and compliance. So I think the agencies are catching up with this. It's my sense from phone calls and the mailbag that agencies are writing protocols very, very quickly, because they've never had to deal with this before. But again, it's worth inquiring. And then the placement and supervision audit. And, you know, when I talk about supervision, I'm talking about agency oversight here. And agency supervision that supports students working remotely or in a blended economy. Tutors may wish to consider contacting existing agencies to acquire whether key staff have undertaken online and telephone training. I think that, you know, if there are a number of senior staff at an agency, they should have some form of training if they're asking their students to go online and work online on telephone. And establishing whether agencies who are working face-to-face with students have a COVID-19 risk assessment in place. Now, I know that when I worked in FE, further education, and also colleagues in higher education, they had to do a risk assessment every year on their placements. And they had to report that and feed that back to the health and safety manager, she or he, at the learning institution. So I think that a conversation around health and safety in a COVID situation with your health and safety manager is going to be pretty essential, because they may very well want to get involved. I know when I was teaching, it was an absolute surprise to the health and safety manager that we had actually people on placement. He just didn't know. And we had to have a protocol for that. So I think a conversation with health and safety. And there are some issues here, aren't there? What happens if a supervisor catches COVID from a supervisor on a face-to-face visit? What happens if a student goes off and says they've got COVID and they've been counselling face-to-face in the agency or been in the supervision face-to-face? You're really going to need to inform the agency and the supervisors, and they may need to inform the clients. So I think there's a lot of risk assessment to be covered and thought through here. Safety and reporting protocols, establishing whether agencies are offering face-to-face, have that assessment in place. And again, you may wish to liaise with your health and safety department for clarification I think there could be lots of difficulties here. And what I would say, and I don't want to appear ageist, is that if you have any trainees who are working with older clients, specifically in placements that cater for older clients, that risk is going to be higher, isn't it? And you could also say the same for the BAME community, because their risk is statistically higher for contracting it and becoming seriously ill. So I think there's lots of thinking about reporting protocols, health and safety protocols, and how that's going to be managed. It really is a whole new situation, isn't it? And one that we've never really had to face before. So I think there'll be a lot of learning as we go. And I suspect learning lessons learned, as they say, from mistakes made. So in terms of the plenary, I would be thinking about, consider how agencies manage specific risk. You know, what is their risk assessment? Is that being amplified accurately enough to the students? What health and safety policies need to be considered for student welfare? Inquire if agencies are aware of GDPR considerations for students working remotely. And what health and safety procedures are agencies putting in place for face-to-face supervision? I've put a reference link here for the ICO so that you can have a look at data specific requirements for general data protection for controllers and processors. It might give you some overview of the difference between a processor and a controller. So with that slide completed, that ends this short presentation on supervisors and agency module. Thank you very much for watching.